Hello and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and today's topic is murderer Catherine Mary Knight, who murdered her partner and then proceeded to chop him up and prepare him in a stew.
With some fava beans.
Yeah, that was back in 2001, so it's a pretty gruesome tale, but we'll get into that in just a minute. But before we do, let me introduce our panel, as always. I'm joined by the very lovely, the Queen of Mean, the Mistress of the Macabre, the Devil's Dirty Little Secret.
Whore.
What? Why? Why?
Very beautiful, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you?
Well, fine. I wanted to...
Hold on. Could you bring our listeners any less enthusiasm? Oh, I'm all right.
You know what? Let me tell you something.
I'm just saying. You could.
Over the last couple of days...
These people tuning in here...
I've had a child that's had surgery, and I've been sick. I'm here, and I'm ready to do this, but I will flat punch you. I'm
well,
wetty.
Why don't you act like you're happy to be here?
I'm willing and wetty? Or just wetty?
Yeah, I will
I'm
punch
wetty.
You in the fucking face.
Quiet, Timmy. I'm just saying, if these people are going to tune in, they're going to listen, they're going to do...
They're paying top dollar for this.
Yeah, they're paying a lot of money to hear us. You could at least act like you want to be here. That's all. I'm okay.
I said I was okay.
Well, we're glad you're here, and you're wetty.
I am wetty.
And we're also joined, as you can probably tell, by the very honorable and distinguished, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the Honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Couldn't be happier to be here, Timmy.
Well, see, now that's enthusiasm.
Oh, my.
That's what you bring to the table.
I like to think that I'm a
that's the only
ray
thing
of sunshine in people's lives when they tune in.
Yeah, well, you are.
I want to make a comment. You know, somebody, Marvin from Australia, shout out to Marvin.
Yeah, hey, Marvin, thank you for the email.
But was it he that wanted to know how you get your own moniker, like how you get your own, you give yourself your own nickname?
Yeah, he was. He did have that question.
Yeah, so I'd like to answer that question if I could, because Chuck is the only one here who has given himself his own nickname. Now, Colonel was only supposed to be for the first episode that we did. And then
Timmy gave me the name of Colonel.
And then know. He decided that...
It's an honorary title.
It was just something... It's like Sanders. And it was just something that he was going to do. Now, have you ever heard him refer to himself as the Hawk?
Which he does quite often.
Which he does. That is a self... He gave that to himself.
I have two different personas. There's the Colonel and there's the Hawk.
That's something he gave to himself.
Now, the Hawk is basically a crime fighter.
Only douchebags give themselves nicknames.
When he talks about himself in the third person, if you've ever noticed that. We could have a drink. Listeners, here's a drinking game. Every time the Colonel talks about himself in the third person, take a shot.
Now, see, now I'm just going to have to say here, the Colonel feel like he's under attack today.
No, Colonel.
The Colonel's still waiting on his personal assistant.
We're still waiting on a YouTube channel, so there's that.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of downloads. We've got a lot of downloads from our friends.
You wanted me to perk up? Here it is, baby.
Yeah, you could go back to being comatose again.
We're getting a lot of listeners from Ireland, and we want to thank the good folks from Ireland for listening, and all over the. We're getting listeners from everywhere.
Your unrest.
Listeners from everywhere, and we want to go on. We're hoping to go on tour someday, but in order to do that, we need a YouTube channel. And my understanding, Brandy, it was that we would have one by the first of the year. What is today's date?
Today's date is not the first of the year. It is after the first of the year, and we
you don't
have,
know what date it is, do you?
It's the sixth. It's the sixth.
We do, in fact, have a YouTube channel.
We have a channel. There's no content
on it, so
because the person responsible for content is busy looking for cheese and crackers.
That would be the Colonel.
That would be the Colonel. He's busy looking for cheese and crackers and doing hawk-like things.
Whoa.
And paying for.
He's a crime fighter.
And paying for other people's meals at Willie's.
Well, yeah. The Colonel.
And showing his ass at Willie's, by the way.
We heard you had a rough break there at Christmas time there, Colonel, that you were on the hook for a lot of family meals.
I did get put on the hook for a few family meals. I got got a little bit of grief from my children, in which I had to remind them that their very sustenance, I am the river from which all their sustenance flows, so they might want to shut the hell up.
You're a dick.
Wouldn't that be Renee? Aren't you on that same river?
The Colonel can take care of himself.
Okay, Colonel. You have any shout-outs for us, Colonel?
Of course I got shout-outs. You got some shout-outs, too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I'm just going to do the big two.
Okay.
Lady Beverly, we're thinking about you. We're hoping that you're doing well. And hoping that whatever's ailing you is going to pass by, and the doctors are going to solve the problem and get you back to your wonderful self.
Absolutely. We're thinking about you, yep. Lady Beverly.
And to Dottie, Dottie, I know you was Dottie was out roller skating, and
I'm sorry, Tim tried to kill her.
I did not try.
Tim tried to kill his mama again. He put on a skateboard.
My mom had an unfortunate accident over the break.
Yeah.
It occurred at my place.
Accident in quotes.
And in my bathroom. It was an accident.
Dottie seems to have a lot of accidents at your place.
Well,
when you are around.
I'm just saying it was a complete accident. Get well soon, Mom.
Dottie, you can come and stay with the Colonel anytime you want.
She may feel safer there.
Okay. Well, hell yeah, she feels safer there. She ain't ever had to
she
be
doesn't
taken.
Have to sleep with a gun under her pillow.
She ain't ever had to leave my house to go to the emergency room. Every time I need an Uber to the emergency. Every time she come over to your house, it's like, how much an Uber to the emergency room cost me?
My mom had an unfortunate fall, so I hope get well soon. Okay.
Yeah, thought he'd get well.
I have a couple shout-outs to folks that sent us nice emails. I just want to say thank you to Michael. Thank you, Michael, for your email, and to Phil, who liked the Sultana episode that I did by myself without you two idiots.
That was as painful as I had a root canal that wasn't as bad as a Sultana, for Christ's sake.
Well, all I can say is that Phil enjoyed my podcast, so.
Well, Phil, I think you had two downloads on that podcast. It was Phil and Dottie, wasn't it?
No. Actually, we got like 500-some for that podcast, so we podcasted okay. But anyway, thank you, Phil, for your email.
That was before the Colonel got
involved. It was before. It did really suck. That's why I brought you guys in. We got a nice email or note from Elise. Thank you, Elise. She's enjoying the podcast. From Kim Taylor down in Kentucky. Thank you, Kim, for joining us. Mary Ray, and as always, Trish. So thank you all for your comments and your email. Thank you for your comments on Facebook. Please continue to follow us. And at some point, we'll have a YouTube channel for you to follow as well.
I doubt it. Never get a fucking YouTube channel.
Let's jump into this story today. It's of Catherine Mary Knight, who, as I mentioned, was convicted of murder in Australia back in 2001. It was a very gruesome murder.
And you know, we normally do serial killers, but
yeah.
this one was so messed up it should count for 10 murders.
Yeah, plus she had a lot. I mean, she was a tough broad. Or I guess she still is. She's still alive.
I imagine this would being married to the devil be like.
Probably pretty similar. Let's let me tell you a little bit about her.
Don't cross me.
We're going to talk a little bit about her family background. Her family was originally from Aberdeen in New South Wales, Australia. And when we got that email from Phil in Australia, he had suggested a story that we're going to look into. And I told him that, yeah, it's kind of a coincidence because, you know, this is our first story, I think, from Australia, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. So Catherine Mary Knight's family was originally from Australia, where her mother was married. Her mother was Barbara Ruffman, and she and her husband lived in New South Wales, Aberdeen in New South Wales, Australia. But they had a scandal, and her mother had to leave town. Apparently, this was back in, you know, the 50s, early 50s, late 1940s, early 1950s. And her mother had an affair. Thank you, Colonel. Yeah, I want some condemnation here.
Yeah, the whore.
Okay, so she had an affair, and you know, it was a conservative little rural town in Australia, and that was a big deal back in the late 40s, early 50s. So she moved away. Her and her husband, Mr. Ruffian, had two children, and or I'm sorry, four children, and two of them stayed with Mr. Ruffian. The other two went with Barbara Ruffian, who's Catherine's mother, and they moved to another town with the guy that Barbara was having an affair with. And his name was Knight. His last name was Knight, Ken Knight. And so they moved to this town called Moree. And Catherine and Ken Knight then had twins. And Barbara and Ken Knight had twins, and Catherine was one of their twins. Yay. And she was born on October 24th, 1955. And that was in the little town of Tintenfeld, New South Wales.
And okay. Just for the listeners who don't know, the Colonel has some twins, too.
Yes, the Colonel does have twins.
Sure, I did not know that.
Yeah. Chuck Ruffian, the guy that, you know, the previous husband to Barbara, he died in 1959. And so the two children he had taken with them, then they came to live with Catherine and her mother. So one big happy family there in Tintenfeld, New South Wales. But Catherine was not very close to her family. Apart from her twin, the only person that she was really close to was her uncle, Oscar Knight, who was a champion horseman.
What? If you're going to be a horseman, you need to be a champion.
Yeah. No, he was. And they were close, but she was devastated when he committed suicide in 1969. I was at that point 8 years old.
So I wonder what made...
I was not born.
I wonder what made things go wrong with Mr. Wright.
I don't have any information on that, so let's don't go down that rabbit hole.
He was Mr. Wright until he went wrong to me.
No, his name was Knight.
Oh, Knight. Never mind.
But anyway, she maintains, and still does to this day, that Oscar Knight, her uncle, his ghost visits her quite often. So at least he's still visiting her. That's good.
Yeah.
And he probably does. And when the ghosts visit you, they probably don't have to go by the official visiting hours at the prison, you think?
No, I think they can come and go as they please.
Yeah.
It depends on if the one that a ghost that can go through walls.
Don't all ghosts go through walls?
Not all of them.
Yeah.
Just special ones.
Really?
Yeah, there's different classes of ghosts.
So let's talk about Catherine's early life. Catherine's early life. Her father, Ken, was an alcoholic.
Hmm.
And he openly used violence and intimidation. He raped her mother up to 10 times a day.
That's what a horny son of a bitch right there.
Yeah. It's too much. It's too much.
It really
Were they is. Married?
Yeah. And her mother...
And this was back before the laws where you couldn't... Now you can get charged with rape against your wife. Back then, you couldn't get charged with rape against your
wife. Right. So, well, I don't even know what the laws are now in Australia, but he was banging her 10 times a day against her will, apparently.
That would be the definition of rape.
Yes.
I think if any for those listeners who've been married, most of the time, it's somewhat against their will anyway. But they want you to cut the grass, or they want you to do something. So it's a barter system.
Yeah, the bartering system. There's something in it for them anyway.
Yeah.
Catherine's mother, Barbara, told her daughters all the intimate details of her sex life and how much she hated having sex with men.
Well, I would guess so.
But later, when Catherine grew up and she started complaining to her mother about some of her partners wanting to have sex, her mother told her to just shut up and stop complaining, put up with it.
But just take it.
That's good advice.
Just take it.
That's what I think, too. But anyway, as we'll see later on, it will be Catherine who was the one who was sexually dissatisfied most of the time.
Because she saw somebody used to get it 10 times a day.
But she claims that when she was a child, she was sexually abused by her stepbrothers and other family members. And that continued until she was about 11 years old. though she said her father did never abused her. So there was some abuse she's claiming, but by siblings and other family members, I guess. But it was never been really substantiated. Family members accept her claim that she was abused, but the court's does not necessarily buy it, because she tried to use it later on in her defense when we get to that point. She was, by all accounts, a pleasant girl. It's kind of funny to read this, because the next sentence is, Catherine was, by all accounts, a pleasant girl who experienced uncontrollable murderous rages in response to minor upsets. So, besides her uncontrollable murderous rages,
yeah.
She was a pleasant girl.
Chuck does that shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're pleasant until people poke the bear long enough.
Yeah, well, apparently it doesn't take her... Apparently, the guys wasn't poking her enough.
That yeah, well, that's true.
But when she...
It wasn't poking the beaver, not the bear, but...
When she attended high school, she became a loner, and she is remembered by classmates as being a bully. She often would bully and tease smaller children and extort money.
Not going to bully and tease the bigger kids.
Well, yes.
That's just stupid. Well,
that's a bad business model, yeah, right there.
It's yeah. a bad business model. But she would extort the kids for their meal money and stuff, so she was an opportunist.
I don't know that I would call that extortion.
Stealing? What would you call it?
I'd call
protection.
It little skinny bastard don't need lunch. I need it more than he does.
There
give me
go.
Your lunch money.
Well, she assaulted at least one boy at school with a weapon and once injured her teacher. Her teacher fought back and I guess really kicked her ass. And her teacher was found to have acted in self-defense. By contrast, though, when she was not in a rage, Catherine was a model student and was often earned awards for her good behavior.
There you go.
I guess, besides,
besides kicking the occasional teacher's ass.
And then assaulting her her colleagues with weapons or other students.
Sounds weapons. To me like she was around a lot of people that might have had it coming.
Maybe, perhaps.
Because the colonel's a fairly reasonable person, fairly pleasant. You know I'm pleasant. You've been around me
pleasant.
Enough. But yep. Sometimes I can get into a murderous rage. But usually those people got it coming.
Well, maybe that would be her perspective on things. But so she left the school at the age of 15 without having learned how to read or write.
Damn.
Why? She was on her back all the time.
I don't know. Well, she earned, she gained employment as a cutter in a clothing factory upon leaving school. But it was 12 months later that her dream came true. She started to work what she referred to as her dream job. And that was working in a slaughterhouse cutting up animals.
Her dream job?
Yeah. Where she was quickly promoted to boning.
She was a boner?
Deboning.
She got promoted to boning.
Deboning.
And
she was the head boner.
No, you are the head boner.
They do not call them deboners in the slaughter industry. They call them boners.
Well, she was a boner. With her promotion, she got her own set of butcher knives, which she was really proud of.
Yeah.
Is it the kind you can cut the cans with?
The Ginsu knives.
I don't know if it was Ginsu or Chop-O-Matic or whatever, but she was very proud of her butchering skills. She was very proud of her butchering skills, and at her home, she hung the knives over her bed so that they would, quote, always be ready if needed.
Do you know who else was a butcher? Sweet Dee.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet Dee can
your grandmother.
Slaughter a cow. Yes.
Really?
Sweet Dee can slaughter a cow and cut it all up however it's supposed to be.
I'm going to take a cow to Sweet Dee.
Well, I don't know if Sweet Dee would do it now, but she has been known to be a butcher a time or two.
Is she a baker and a candlestick maker as well?
As a matter of fact, she's multi-talented.
She is. Sweet Dee, of course, being your grandmother.
She is.
Okay. So shout out to Sweet Dee, who's probably not listening.
Shout out to Sweet Dee, who doesn't know what a podcast is.
Okay. So anyway, she hung up these knives over her bed at home because she was very proud of them, and she said that she never knew when they would come in handy, which we will see later on. They actually do.
Well.
And I'll tell you what, you take a girl home, and you see some swords and knives and stuff up over the bed. just leave.
Really? Really? Yeah. Because I don't see you leaving right away.
I see that there's a good time coming here.
Well, yeah, I see you hanging out for quite a while.
Well, the colonel will take his chances. Because it's going to take more than a Ginsu knife to deflower the colonel. Unless you got a chainsaw hanging over the bed, I ain't worried about you. But anyway, it's probably a pretty good indication that they're into some weird stuff.
Yeah, well, so...
Yeah, well, they have you there, so...
So her role at the slaughterhouse where she was working was to decapitate the pigs.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know, do you put them under your arm in one hand and slit their throat with the other? How do you do that,
Well, that's
girl?
Pretty much... They're probably already dead. She probably just had to take an axe and
so
cut
they're, like,
off.
Hanging upside down and...
Yeah, I mean...
Okay.
Well, I can tell you this.
That's a primo gig, though.
I can tell you how you... Because the colonel has
15 years
personally
old,
done
she's
this.
Got this job.
What, Cliff?
Personally did
what, Cliff
this.
Clavin? What?
When you are...
How do you have something to add on butchering?
I have detesticled about 100 pigs in my life.
Do they squeal?
A farm in Russell Springs, Kentucky.
Really high-pitched squeal, too.
And you grab the pig, and you hold his head between... Somebody holds the pig's head between their legs.
You put a rubber band around them.
And then they grab the back legs and lift them up.
Uh-huh.
And then you take a little razor knife, cut a slit in the little pig's scrotum, and the testicle pop right out, and they're on two little cords, and you cut the cords, and the pigs squeal a little bit, but they you know, pigs are pretty happy-go-lucky little guys, you know?
Not anymore.
Yeah, until you cut off their balls.
Well, the
what
problem
does that have
is,
to do with taking the pig's head off?
And the thing is that you, if you don't deball the pigs... Pigs are horny little bastards. They want to hump all day. They don't want to eat.
Yeah, they'll hump humans if they're in there.
Damn right they will. So they,
Colonel knows.
You got to cut their balls
the
off.
The colonel is deflowered.
If you want them big and fat, you got to cut their balls off. So anyway.
So what you're telling me is that you're into pigs cock and bull torture is what you're
No, this had to be done. It was a farm. So anyway, I take the balls after I cut them off. I throw them on the ground.
I don't understand why they're still talking
about this. And I got a long line of pigs behind me.
It's just gonna. I want to see where it goes.
And when the balls hit the ground,
yeah,
the pigs fight over the balls.
Yeah, because they'll eat anything.
Oh, they'll eat. Yeah.
So they eat their own balls?
No, what? No, that's just weird.
No, they can't eat their own because you're holding them.
But if they were freely,
but that is when the pig gets frisky. Is when he sees his balls hit the ground, he want to get loose from you to go eat the balls.
It's when I get frisky, too.
When your balls are on the ground.
Yeah, that's when I get frisky as well. So, okay, Colonel. So, is there anything else you want to add to that story?
No, it's just, I just found it interesting that there was more concerned about missing out on, the ones in line was more concerned about missing out on a pig ball than what was going to happen to them next.
Well, they probably didn't make the connection. You know, they are pigs.
They're smart animals.
Thanks, Mr. Obvious. I never made the connection.
Okay, so if you have questions regarding how to...
It's a pig vasectomy.
Deball.
Is what it is.
Deball a pig.
It's a pig vasectomy. I was Dr. Colonel down there.
Okay.
You weren't.
Please contact the colonel, and he will send you photos or whatever.
Yeah.
Detailed instructions on how to denut a pig. Anyway, Catherine showed a great interest in her job at the slaughterhouse and often wandered over to the production line and watched the pigs actually having their throats cut. Okay, so she didn't cut them. They were dead when she got them.
Told you.
Okay, so other employees found her macabre interest a little strange.
Creepy?
Yeah, a little strange. But just assumed that she was looking, you know, to advance in the job, and she wanted to know all the facets of her profession, which is admirable. But really, Catherine's greatest disappointment in life was with her relationships with others, and especially the men in her life. Her relationships were largely unstable and often very violent. She often became angry with the men in her life when they did not satisfy her sexually, and Brandy's going to tell us a little bit
about
her.
Which is appropriate that the devil would tell us about that, because that's an apt description of the devil.
What
Go
is?
Ahead.
What is an apt description?
That you often, what did she, what did you say?
She often become angry when men could not satisfy her sexually.
So you're slamming on my husband.
Not your husband. That's why you married Dave, because he could finally satisfy you. But before that, the two assault charges you have from throwing the men into the wall that you said, oh, no, Three times? What's that? Three times? That ain't enough. Get back here, sir.
First of all, three times. It's ridiculous. I got other things to do.
She's an insatiable woman.
I'm not 20
woman.
Anymore. I got
things to do.
Well,
this was back when you were 20.
Stuff on TV.
Yeah. See, I've got Netflix.
You got a whole queue.
I got things going on. I got a snack. So, yeah, she had this whole stream of boyfriends and lovers, and none of them really fit the bill for her. She first met hard-drinking co-worker David Stanford Kellett in 1973, and she just completely dominated him. When Kellett got in a fight with other men in bars, Catherine would step in and back him up with her fist.
She's badass.
She's a lady.
Yeah, she's a lady.
She's
got
a lady.
Little sweetheart there. Little missus.
Keep her. You know, that's the kind of woman you want to bear your children.
Yeah.
That right there.
Yeah, you know, nothing says love than, you know.
Oh, a woman back you up in a bar fight.
Yeah.
In Aberdeen, she was renowned for offering armed combat to anyone who she perceived messing with her. Knight married Catherine in 1974 at her insistence.
Yeah, well, he was scared.
You're marrying me, no. goddammit.
Yeah.
Well,
she knocked him down to one knee.
Yes,
choked
she did.
Him and said,
"It's probably like twisted his arm, literally." And he's like down on his knee. He's wearing,
wow. When the couple arrived at the church for the wedding day, they did so on her motorcycle.
Oh yeah.
They arrived drunker than coon dogs, with Catherine driving, and David Kellett riding bitch, barely holding on.
She had a t-shirt on that said, if you can read this, the bitch fell off.
Let's see. As soon as they arrived, Catherine's mother, Barbara, the nurturer herself, gave Kellett some advice. You better watch this one or she'll fucking kill you. Stir up the wrong... This sounds like the advice my mom gave Dave. I'm just saying.
You know what?
It's eerily familiar.
But let me say, in her mom's defense, it's accurate.
Well, you know. Yeah. Let's see. Or she'll fucking kill you. Stir her up the wrong way or do the wrong thing and you're fucked. Don't ever think of playing up on her. She'll fucking kill you.
Playing up, I guess, means cheating on her. Too.
I guess, yeah. She's got a screw loose somewhere. to prove her mother's point on their wedding night, Catherine tried to strangle her new husband to death.
On their honeymoon.
Well, sure. Okay. On the wedding night.
Yeah.
Maybe they were just playing.
Yeah. It was rough sex.
Yeah.
Knight explained it was because he fell asleep after only having intercourse three times.
I'm telling you.
Well, Leo's off. What am I doing up now? Leave me alone.
How many times do you want it? I mean, three times seems...
Three times,
adequate.
You know what?
It's like that Lionel Richie song.
I mean...
She was once, twice, three times a hoback.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that wasn't enough for Catherine.
For that point on, David was always weary of his bride.
Yeah.
You think so?
Man, I bet he wasn't jerking it when she wasn't around.
No, that poor son of a bitch, he was the Cialis poster child. He was like, give me some Viagra. He was going to the...
Let's see. One day after coming home a little late, Catherine met him at the house's front door. As David opened the door, Catherine swung the hot edge of an iron at him, scalding the side of the man's face and leaving the iron pattern across his cheek.
Jesus Christ.
At work the next day, David had to secretly seek medical attention.
Well, of course. You have to go behind your wife's back to get those stitches.
Had he done so the night of the attack, Catherine would have known that he would have told the doctors, and the police may have been called. Had the police been called, Catherine may have been perturbed then.
Well, you don't want to perturb that.
Yeah,
no.
She might have been perturbed. And, you know, just trying to prevent some further attacks.
He was trying to keep peace in the family by secretly seeking medical attention.
But it was only to be the beginning of a life of attacking people who got in her way. The marriage was particularly
violent.
Quite
the little lady there.
She is a lady. You just hush. Let's see. The marriage was particularly violent, and on one occasion, a heavily pregnant Knight...
Oh, man, I bet she was a bitch when she was pregnant.
Oh, holy God.
Well, why would he... Well, I guess he didn't have a choice whether or not to knock her up.
Yeah.
We had to bang her at least three times a day.
I know. You can have an accident, you're doing it three times. Of course, after number four, you're just popping out air anyway. There ain't no coming out of that thing.
She burned all of David's clothes and shoes before hitting him across the back of the head with a frying pan simply because he had arrived home late from a darts competition after making the finals.
I have not seen a picture. Is she except? Is she
She's
Cody DePablo hot or something?
No, I'll show you. She's red hair. Go ahead, Brandon.
Is she a ginger?
Yeah.
Oh. In fear. Stop.
Be nice. Oh. We have a nice.
Do not cross a redheaded woman.
Well, in May,
this one anyway.
In fear for his life, Kellett fled before collapsing in a neighbor's house. And he was later treated for a badly fractured skull.
I'm telling you, she's badass.
Police wanted to charge her, but Knight was now on her best behavior and asked Kellett and talked Kellett into dropping the charges. In May of 1976, shortly after the birth of their first child, Melissa Ann, Kellett left her for another woman and moved to Queensland. He got the hell up out of Dodge, is what he did.
Though she wasn't that much to look at. She must have been hell in bed.
Well, you know, she was never going to say no.
Yeah, well, that's true.
The next day, so Kellett left her, apparently unable to cope with her behavior.
Surprisingly.
And the next day, Catherine was seen pushing her new baby in a carriage recklessly down the main street, violently throwing the carriage from side to side.
So the skills that she had as a wife, she
transferred right over to the mother. Yeah.
Well, they clearly, yeah.
So there was going to be no Catherine's daycare.
The caring and nurture that she had for her husband is now being projected onto her newborn.
Well, first of all, and I don't know how many people will get this reference, and I'm going to read it, and it makes me giggle a little. Catherine was admitted to St. Elmo's Hospital.
As insane.
I'm not sure that would do her any good. Because it's a made-up place. Yeah. But anyway, in Tamworth, where she was diagnosed with postnatal depression. Can we call it postpartum?
Postpartum depression.
Okay, good, because that's
postnasal?
The word.
She had
that's
postnasal
kinda,
depression?
Yeah, she did. It's horrible.
Natal, I think, is what they call it in Australia.
Yeah, well, all right. And spent several weeks...
postnatal. But she may have postnatal.
She had post navel.
No, because nobody broke that bitch's nose.
Let me show you her picture, and I beg to differ.
Well, life broke her nose.
Let me see that one.
She's just scary looking, but she's not anything that's crazy.
She ain't even scary. She looked like somebody, like she'd be the housekeeper or a nice first grade teacher. I mean, she looked like a nice woman.
Wait a minute, Mother of the Year is still on a roll here. So she goes to St. Elmo's, and she spends several weeks recovering. Then they decide that she's okay, and they release her. And she promptly places two-month-old Melissa on a railway line shortly before the train is due.
Well, as a good mother would.
Hold on, this bitch is like the bad guy on Dudley Do-Right. She's tying the baby to the railroad track.
Slightly whiplash.
She got a mustache and everything.
Is that like putting the baby on the dryer to try to get it to go to sleep? Maybe the baby just wouldn't sleep.
Who the hell tied a baby to the railroad track?
You didn't have to tie her. She wasn't going anywhere.
I think when the train comes along, the baby won't be making much noise then.
Well, no. She then stole an axe and went into town and threatened to kill several people.
So she died. She dropped her baby on the railroad track, stole an axe, and now she's looking for trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She was on a tear.
I believe anger management would have served this woman well.
A man known in the district as Old Ted was walking near the railway line and found and rescued Melissa, by all accounts, only seconds before the train passed.
Old Ted was Gandhi dancing.
You know what they called
him? He was high-kicking.
You know what they called him 20 years before that?
Young Ted.
Young Ted.
Catherine was arrested again, and they took her back to St. Elmo's. Is nobody getting it? Okay. But apparently, she recovered, signed herself out the following day.
All's well.
Yeah. Those drugs you gave her the first time, give her something else.
Yeah. They didn't work well.
A few days later, Knight slashed the face of a woman with one of her knives and demanded that she drive her to Queensland to find David.
You know, I always find that please works best. You get more
fries with honey situation.
Yeah.
I don't know that they have. I've not been to Australia.
Yeah. So
maybe they don't have, because it's very, you know, desolate in places. Yeah. Maybe they just don't have good public transportation. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? When the girl looks at you and says, "I will cut a bitch,"
she means it. I think that's where the term came from.
She means it. So the woman escaped after they stopped at a service station, but by the time police arrived, Catherine had taken a little boy hostage and was threatening him with a knife.
Now, keep in mind, she never gets arrested, or she gets put in a psych ward for a night, and then she signs herself out throughout all of this.
And I think the key thing here is this all happened in Australia. And Australians have a different psyche than we do.
No, we're not.
I mean, when you think about Australia, the most horrible things in the world exist in Australia.
And they do have some jacked up shit.
The most poisonous snakes, the most poisonous spiders, the great white sharks.
They're definitely the most poisonous people.
The most poisonous. So they take things in stride. They're like, I can't even do it. But
man, they play rugby. That's a rough sport.
Yeah, so, you know, you slash somebody's face, they're like,
And they box kangaroos.
Yeah,
they box kangaroos. Badass. So it's like, you know.
Maybe they just roll with it.
Yeah.
Well, they don't suffer fools.
Right. Apparently not.
So she was disarmed when police attacked her with brooms.
Well, they don't have guns down there.
And I'm sure they have guns, but wonder why they use brooms.
Because the boy. She had the boy. She probably had a knife.
They
disarmed her with the broom.
Okay.
And she was admitted not to St. Elmo's.
Well, the advantage of that is once you've disarmed her, you can tidy up a little
bit. Yeah.
And she got a ride home.
Yeah.
Well, they did finally decide that taking her to St. Elmo's Bar and Grill was not the place that they needed to go. So they sent her to Morissette Psychiatric Hospital. Catherine told the nurses that she intended to kill the mechanic at the service station. What the hell? It's random. Because he had repaired Kellett's car, which had allowed him to leave. And then kill both her husband.
See, you know what? She is connecting the dots.
Well, she is. Talk about tying up loose ends.
Yeah.
And then she was going to kill both her husband and his mother when she arrived in Queensland.
They're
going to
let that bitch off.
No, I'll kill you and your mother, you bitch.
When police informed David of the incident, he left his girlfriend and along with his mother. they both moved to Aberdeen to support her.
Well, she probably needs support. Sounds like he got scared and came home.
Yeah
David, please support David. He left his girlfriend, and along with his mother, they both moved to Aberdeen to support her. What?
Let's put it this way. I love you. I love her. I want to be with you. But if I don't go back to her, she's going to kill me.
She's going to kill me, yeah.
I have to let you go.
Yeah. Catherine was released on August 9th of 1976 into the care of her mother-in-law, and along with David, they now moved into Woodbridge, a suburb of Brisbane, where she obtained a job at the Denmore Meat Works in nearby Ipswich. On March 6, 1980, they had another daughter, because the one on the train track just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Right. Natasha Marie.
Oh, sounds like
Where's the first daughter? Did old Ted still have her? Like, do we even know?
I know she got custody. That's what I'm saying. There were so many points where this woman, there could have been some real intervention. And she just, you know, people were just saying, oh, that's the way she is. And
well, I think the judge was scared to intervene at that point.
Maybe.
In 1984, Catherine left David for good and moved in first with her parents in Aberdeen. Then to a rented house in nearby Muswell Brook.
Boy, that's David was just heartbroken.
You know, what the hell? What? So she leaves him.
You know, that son of a bitch could not sleep for 3 weeks. He was hiding under the bed, everything else, waiting for that bitch to come back.
He probably just trying to get out having sex with her three times a day.
Good Lord. Although she returned to work at the slaughterhouse, she injured her back the following year and went on a disability pension, no longer needing to rent.
Somehow, I don't think that disappointed her co-workers in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know. I bet she was productive as hell. No longer needing to rent a rent accommodations close to her work, the government gave her a housing commission house in Aberdeen.
Yeah, they got, you know, they got, you know, they got socialized medicine, housing, everything. You know, all these progressive countries.
They got it going on down there. Yeah. Except for the poison snakes and the spiders. And
the bats the size the bats of your size, body.
And those spiders, that take over the whole tree.
That's crazy.
They have Qualamundi's down there,
so too. Catherine met 38-year-old, she met her a minor this time.
Oh, good.
David Sanders in 1986.
You mean he was young, or do you mean he worked in
minor.
The mines?
He worked in the mines. Okay. He was a minor. Catherine was 31 at the time. A few months later, he moved in with her and her two daughters, although he kept his old apartment in Scone.
That's going to keep this place just in case.
Yeah, smart move. Catherine soon became jealous regarding what he did when she was not around and would often throw him out. Mm. And he'd go back to his apartment in Scone, and then she would invariably follow him and beg him to return. You know what? He needs to get together with her ex-husband.
She's changing tactics.
Yeah, she's on the softer side.
Nope. Mm-hmm. In May 1987, she cut the throat of his two-month-old puppy in front of him for no more reason than as an example of what would happen if he had ever had an affair before going on to knock him unconscious with a frying pan.
Now, I'm going to tell you something.
You should not cut a man's dog.
And this part, we had a comment on our Facebook page that I said, you can do a lot of shit, but you fuck with a puppy, people turn on you. Once she turned on her, once she cut the puppy,
well, you know, it's like,
and then knocked him unconscious with a frying pan, slit the dog's throat, knocked the shit out of him.
This is totally off topic.
But he did nothing.
This is totally off topic, but the making of the murderer.
Yeah.
You know, he had the guy, the show on Netflix, the guy had some history of animal abuse at least once. And, you know, you go in the comments and no one talks about, you know, the things he was accused of. Every negative comment is about the animal abuse.
Right. And, I know. Yeah, I saw that. Let's see. In June of 1988, she gave birth to her third daughter, Sarah. Which prompted
a little family.
Yeah, I mean,
well, they're banging three times a day.
Which prompted Saunders to put a deposit on a house, which Catherine paid off when her workers' compensation came through in 1989. Catherine decorated the house throughout with, she decorated her house. Good God, it's like Eddie Gein's house: animal skins, skulls, horns, rustic animal trap. It's very child friendly. Sounds like,
you know. Here's the thing I don't like about that.
Leather jackets. What?
People don't understand when you're decorating a house, less is more. You know what I mean?
And it's
you don't need something on every inch of the space on your walls.
And it's really hard to coordinate a dead kangaroo skull.
Well,
with other things.
Plus, there's a lot of things for DNA to get on.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But you know, it's just. She, old boots, machetes, rakes, pitchforks. She even covered the ceilings with stuff. So this was not a child-proofed home.
No.
She
was like Elvis.
Elvis.
She had the jungle room.
Elvis had carpet on his ceiling.
That's super sweet, though. After an argument over Saunders not satisfying her sexually, she hit Saunders in the face with an iron before stabbing him in the stomach with a pair of scissors.
Well, you know what? You better be ready to step up to the table if you
think. Yeah, you better not have arthritis, have TMJ, have erectile dysfunction, any of those
things. No, you better be ready to.
You better. Why didn't these men go out and buy themselves a couple vibrators and say, here, baby, you just.
Or just get one off the wall, apparently.
Get one, yeah.
So after this little kerfluffle.
Misunderstanding.
Yeah. Dust up. This prompted him to move back to Scone, where he later returned home and found she had cut up all his clothes.
She's a clothes-cutting bitch.
She really is. Well, she's got the scissors and the knives.
The Salvation Army could have helped use the help.
Saunders took a long work leave and went into hiding. He's in witness protection.
Good move.
Catherine tried to find him, but no one admitted to knowing where he was.
Well, you're certainly not going to say you fixed his radiator or whatever.
But no. Yeah. Several months later, he returned to see his daughter and found that Catherine had gone to the police and told them that she was afraid of him. They issued her an apprehended violence order, an AVO, against him. Like which sounds like a restraining order.
Yeah.
All right, here we go now. In 1990, Knight became pregnant by a 43-year-old former slaughterhouse co-worker. Oh. He didn't learn from the other guy.
Yeah.
Well, he worked with her. How could you get involved? You should never get involved with someone you work with, especially if you get involved with someone you work with at a slaughterhouse who likes cutting off the heads of pigs.
And, she was rubbing the devil's button when she was cutting off the heads of pigs.
Probably so.
She probably was.
The devil's button.
You know what the devil's button is, don't you?
We're not speaking right this second. In 1990, let's see. Okay, so the guy's name was John Chillingworth.
What is it with Johns?
Yeah, she likes Johns.
This is number. They're on number two.
This bitch get more Johns than
there were two
hooker.
Daves.
Oh, two Daves and two Johns, too.
You'll get two one. John. Yeah, oh, yeah, next John, yeah. Next John. Well, you know, you stick with a pattern. She gave birth the following year to a boy named Eric. Okay. Their relationship lasted 3 years, but was rocky. They fought frequently.
Oh, surprisingly, she didn't have a smooth relationship.
I know. Well, they fought
a tender, loving relationship.
They fought frequently, usually about John's inability to satisfy Catherine. Police were in their home 9 times in 1 3-month period in 1991. Catherine accused Chillingworth of whoring around. When in fact it was Catherine who was having all the affairs. In one fit of jealousy,
I bet she was having an affair with a guy named Dave or John.
Probably. In one fit of jealous rage, Catherine hit Chillingworth with a kitchen chair and proceeded to repeatedly kick him, bruising his ribs and requiring several stitches in his forehead. When angry, she would often refuse to let him have access to their bathroom, threatening to stab him should he try and use the...
But I gotta go, baby.
No, you could not go to the toilet.
So
that's
what do you have
genius.
To run, so you have to run down to the gas station on the corner?
Or? I guess.
There were a lot. You could tell when they was fighting because there was a lot of man turds in the backyard.
Good God.
Start backing up.
Oh, I wonder if he had to carry a bag with him to pick his own stuff up. Okay, so when she often embarrassed Chillingworth by discussing his sexual inadequacies in front of their family and friends with him present.
Well, that's quite the topic for Thanksgiving dinner.
You know what? Now, you slice the puppy's throat, you stab people, you punch people, you did all kinds of things, but that's crossing a line. Crossing a line.
Yeah, I did all that. This dick here, though, can't keep it up longer than 3 or 4 times in a night.
Yeah. You know, and it's every man's dream. And here's what you need to think about, man. It's every man's dream when they hear the term nymphomaniac. They're like, oh, I wish I was married to a nymphomaniac. No, you don't. Not a redheaded nymphomaniac.
Yeah.
If you're going to get you a nymphomaniac, don't get a redhead.
Or, yeah. Good advice.
If you're going to get you one, like down at the Toys R Us.
I believe you can order them off the internet now.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. So in another case of her unprovoked violence, she wasn't really limited to the men in her life.
Well, that's good.
There was an attack on then 16-year-old Margaret Macbeth. Margaret became embroiled in an argument with Catherine and was severely cut across her face. She required hospitalization and stitches, but no charges were ever filed.
This bitch like Zorro.
She's a little like Zorro.
Well, that's the thing I'm saying. So no one ever filed charges. No, I mean, nothing ever happens to her. There's no consequences.
Well, probably because they're afraid she's going to come after them.
Maybe.
So eventually, again, Catherine left John.
Well, you know, he wasn't performing his manly duties.
Take the beating long enough, she leave you alone.
Yeah. Catherine left John for a man she'd been having an affair with for some time.
No.
John Price.
John, okay, good. So another John.
Here we go. John Pricey Price, which whoever came up with that nickname is a fucking genius, was the father of 3 children when Knight had an affair with him. Reportedly, he was a terrific bloke. Was liked by everyone.
Wait, what was he?
Terrific bloke.
Is that vernacular that you use every day?
That is what is written on my script right here that you fucking wrote. So
I'm just saying.
He's a great guy.
Okay.
Liked by everyone who knew him, and his own marriage had ended in 1988. While his 2-year-old daughter had remained with his former wife, the 2 older children lived with him. Price was well aware of Knight's violent behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't seem to, whatever, bother him. And she moved into his house in 1995. His children liked her. He was making a lot of money working in the local mines. And apart from some violent arguments at first, life was a bunch of roses.
Oh, it's a happy ending.
Yeah.
So that's it? That's the end of our story?
Oh. In 1998, they had a fight over Price's refusal to marry her and his lack of desire for sex.
Oh, no.
In retaliation, Knight videotaped items he'd stolen from work and sent the tape to his boss.
Oh, man, that's low.
That box of pens is going to piss somebody off.
Yeah.
Although the items were out-of-date medical kits that he had scavenged from the company rubbish chip, which I assume... was the trash.
Yeah. I'm just trying to put a little local flair into the story using some of the terms that our friends down under might use.
Okay. Price was fired from the job he'd held for 17 years. That same day, he kicked her out and she returned to her own home while news of what she'd done spread through the town, spread through the countryside.
Well, you know, that's really being a bitch. You contact the guy's boss and say, okay, he stole some garbage.
Right. He was stealing medical kits because he was getting his ass whipped all the time.
That's probably true.
He had to stitch himself up.
Well, I thought maybe he was hanging some of it on the walls.
A few months later, Price restarted the relationship because he's a glutton for punishment.
Well, he obviously was missing something in his
life. Although he now refused to allow her to move back in with him. So he wasn't going to live with her. The fighting became even more frequent, and most of his friends would no longer have anything to do with him while they remained together. Which is where I have no more information.
And we're going to
then transition over to the Colonel.
Well, the Hawk got some more information for you.
Well, you know, you make up your mind, Sybil. Who are you going to be today?
Well, I'm going to be Catherine here in a minute. But John Price.
Pricey.
John Pricey Price.
There you go.
Now, in February 2000...
I wonder if he gave himself that nickname.
A series of assaults on Price culminates with Catherine stabbing him in the chest.
There you go.
Ooh.
Yeah. Finally fed up, he said, "Get your crazy redhead ass out of my house."
Is that a direct quote?
That's a direct quote. "Get your crazy redhead ass out of my house." So, she left. So on February 29th, it's a leap year, 2000.
She left.
He stopped at the Scones Magistrate Court on his way to work and took out a restraining order to keep the crazy woman away. So that afternoon, Price is talking to his co-workers. He says, "You know, if I don't come home the next day, it's because the bitch killed me." Now think about that. Your life really has gotten to the point where, hey, if I'm not here tomorrow, the girl killed me.
Yeah. So, we think that about you all the time.
Well, that's right. So they pleaded with him not to go home, but he said that she'll show up and kill my children if I ain't there. So he arrives home and he finds Catherine. Oh, although
there she is.
He finds that Catherine not there, but she'd sent the children away for a sleepover at a friend's house.
Well, wasn't that nice?
So he's got the house to himself and sit down, play a little while.
No, he got the fuck out of the house. He was like, "Oh shit, she been here." It's like Dracula being at your house. I'm gonna load myself up with garlic and I'm getting the fuck out of here. So now earlier that day, Catherine bought some sexy new black lingerie.
Oh, there you go. Sucky, sucky. Yeah.
And she videotaped all of her children while making comments which have been since interpreted as a crude will.
Okay, so she's saying goodbye.
Yeah, the last will and testament. But then she shows up at Price's house while he was sleeping, sat watching TV for a few minutes, and took a shower. Then Price came back home. Apparently, Price went to a neighbor's. He comes back home and goes to bed. She watches TV. She puts on the sexy lingerie, wakes up Price, and they made some hot, passionate, dirty, steamy love.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So after
disgusting,
which,
but okay.
he made the mistake of falling asleep. Okay? He didn't cuddle. He didn't do nothing.
You know, you always want to check with your partner to see that they're satisfied.
Always let them fall asleep first.
Yeah.
That's the cardinal rule. They got to fall asleep first. And because you do have to ask them.
Right.
You know.
You're obligated.
Well, we have pieces of paper next to our bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mrs. Colonel, it's like a customer satisfaction survey.
Yeah.
And she filled one out, and if the Colonel gets less than a 7.75, we do it again.
Now, see, I always kept a little bell by my bed, and it would ring it whenever you were finished.
Oh. Well, yeah, that's a good system, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, to be honest with you, folks.
Because you can't tell with women.
Men, here's what you finally got to learn about. The Colonel been married a long, long time.
Can you please explain to men how to fake an orgasm, Colonel?
Well, first of all, you watch yourself a couple Bruce Springsteen videos.
Okay.
Okay? And you see how Bruce gets his face all contorted when he's singing.
And gyrates.
And then you start moving and you start sweating and you get your face all contorted up there and you... and then you just go limp. And then you're done.
The fuck was that?
Yeah. That's how you fake an orgasm if you're a man. I don't know that a man has ever faked an orgasm before, but anyway.
I bet you some of Catherine's husbands had.
They had to.
They was in penis rehabilitation therapy and everything else, but so now they've had the dirty, steamy,
PPP.
Slimy, passionate love that they made. And he fell asleep.
Okay, that's reasonable.
No, not if you're married or if you just banged that. Really, we call her the devil, but if you just banged the devil's daughter, it's not a good idea to fall asleep. You got to get the customer service satisfaction survey back. Make sure that crazy woman going to go to sleep before you do.
Yeah.
And when you do, you still sleep with one eye open.
He did not do that, apparently.
He did not. And the next morning, because he had already said, if I don't show up, she killed me.
Right.
The neighbor became concerned because his car was still in the driveway. And when he didn't arrive at work, his employer sent a worker to see what was wrong. And the neighbor and the worker tried knocking on the bedroom window to wake him. But after noticing blood on the front door, they called the police. Breaking down the door, the back door, the police found his body with Catherine comatose from taking a large number of pills that she had gotten from St. Elmo's Fire.
Okay.
Now, she had stabbed Price with a butcher knife while he was sleeping. Stab a man while he's... After he just serviced
you. I'm sure at some point he woke up.
Well, he did wake up. Because according to the blood evidence, the dumbass woke up, tried to turn on the light before attempting to escape.
He was afraid to stub his toe.
Yeah, if
you don't want to stub your toe when you're trying to get out.
If you married to this woman and you feel a piercing pain somewhere, you gotta know what's going on.
Right. It's not good.
So you just run your ass off. But he tried to run. But she got him pretty good in the chest. He made it all the way to the front door. She got him right by the hair and pulled his ass right back in. So he finally died after bleeding out.
37 times?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Kathleen then went to the Aberdeen ATM and withdrew $1,000 from his account. Because she figured he had it coming because she left him hanging.
Right.
Because, see... Here was a Price's problem, and that's what I was going to get to the bit about.
But she had to have his password to get that.
Well, she probably beat it out of him at one point.
Yeah, probably after the 14th stab he was
running. Yeah, but after you've been married a certain number of years, and this was Price's problem, they've been together so long.
Mm-hmm.
The Colonel, men, and this is what you got to do. Think of sex as the Kentucky Derby, okay? Right. The first one crossing that finish line wins.
I see. Right? Is that how you approach your lovemaking?
That's how I approach my romantic encounters.
Okay.
And the Mrs. Colonel know that. She in the race, too.
Yeah.
You know, she galloping as fast as she can.
You win some, you lose some.
You win some, you lose some. There can only be one. Sometimes, you know, you place.
Right.
And sometimes you show.
Right.
But it's like the Kentucky Derby. The first one crossing that finish line wins.
Gotcha.
Now, That doesn't apply if you're married to this woman.
Right. She's an exception to the rule.
Because she will stab you in the chest. So his autopsy revealed that he'd been stabbed at least 37 times in both the front and back of his body. And many of the wounds obviously hit his vital organs. Several hours after he died, Miss Catherine, taking all the skills that she had honed so well at that meat factory,
right,
got her best knives out and skinned him.
The ones over her bed.
And hung the skin from a meat hook on a doorway, on the frame of a door, going into the lounge room.
Ugh.
Oh, it gets better.
Okay.
It gets better. Then she decapitated him and cooked parts of his body, serving up the meat with baked potato, pumpkin, zucchini, which I do not like, cabbage, which I
well,
do not
zucchini,
like.
Well, zucchini, just say, that runs a whole meal.
It does. Well, and then she threw some yellow squash in there.
Well, that helps, man.
I do not like yellow squash. And then gravy. Of course, you got to put some gravy if you're going to, put some ass steaks on there. And she put it into two settings at the dinner table, along with notes beside each plate, each having the name of Price's children on it. She was preparing to serve his body parts to his children. So now, once he was dead, she methodically proceeded to skin the corpse, of course, taking it off, and, she only left a small square inch of skin on the body. And that square had a scar from where she had stabbed him previously.
So that was like a trophy type of thing.
Yeah. And, of course, it was expertly removed because she had worked at that slaughterhouse for so long. So then, she cooks it, she defiles the body, she chops him up, she's doing all kinds of crazy things. She peels up the vegetables, slices them up, and she used his buttocks as steak for the vegetables. And they were spiteful notes as she left the kids. She was hoping the kids, she was going to kill herself. Hope the kids came home, ate, and then realized, oh, I just ate daddy. Look, she dead. Oh, how am I ever going to get her? Yeah. Because there ain't enough therapy in the world once you're eating your father.
Yeah.
You can't really get up.
I wonder, though, how they knew how many times he was stabbed if she butchered his body. I guess there's some way they could
probably tell. From his bones.
Yeah. Maybe.
From his bones. So, a third meal was thrown out in the backyard for unknown reasons, and people speculate that Knight had attempted to eat it but couldn't, and
well, that's probably too salty.
Well, it has zucchini in it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to put zucchini, you're going to ruin it.
Zucchini ruins everything.
Price's head was found in a pot with the vegetables. She was, because you got to slow cook a head.
Well, yeah, that takes hours.
Yeah, you can't just fry up a head or try to broil a head.
Can't put that in the microwave.
Yeah, and the pot was still warm, and it was running about 40 to 50 degrees Celsius, which, according to my calculations, would be about what?
I have no idea.
Well,
neither
let's see. That'd be about 200 degrees, okay. 250.
Okay.
Now, sometime later, she arranged the body with her left arm draped over an empty 2-liter. With the left arm, I'm sorry. With his left arm draped over an empty 2-liter soft drink bottle with his legs crossed. This was claimed in court to be an act of defilement demonstrating her contempt for Price. She had left a handwritten note.
I think she did
note.
Pretty well at...
I think she showed a contempt for Price, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that the bottle was the thing that really needed you.
Tip the scale.
When your head's dropped in a pot full of green beans and called a cottage ham.
40 degrees Celsius is 104 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. So, she put a note on him that said, "Time got you back, Jonathan, for raping my daughter." She spelled it terribly. "You to Beck," that's her daughter for Ross, "for little John." So apparently she accused him of just banging everybody.
Yeah, but
now play with John's dick, John Price. Little John's dick. So the accusations were found to be groundless. And she decapitated him, did all the whatnot, and now, the police, obviously, this time they're like, all right, you slit the puppy's throat, we let that go. You sliced up about 5 women faces, we let that go.
Put the baby on a train track.
Put the baby on the train tracks, we let that go. But you know what? Now, we're going to have to do something with you here, Catherine. Now, you know,
we got some boundaries that you just cannot cross.
You cannot cross them. Even in Australia, you cannot chop up a body and throw it and
feed it to your own children.
Yeah, that's just crossing the line with them. They're right. Laid-back people, but that's going too far. So, initially, she offered to plead guilty to manslaughter. And that plea was rejected. So, she was arraigned and charged with murder. And her trial originally was scheduled for July 2001, but it was adjourned to a counsel's illness, and it was reset for October 2001. When a trial commenced, Judge Barry O'Keefe offered the jury 60 jury prospects the options of being excused due to the nature of the photographic evidence, which 5 looked at the photographs, threw up, and said, "I got to get the hell out of here." So 5 dropped out.
It's pretty gruesome. I saw some of them online. Pretty gruesome.
Yeah, you can look up the names and see the pictures online. Most of our, and that might sound like it's sick, but most of our listeners, you know you're sick.
You know they're going through right now. They're Googling right now.
They are. So anyway, and ain't nothing, that's what we love about you. That's why we keep putting these stories out. Right. I do not say that in judgment. So anyway, when the witness list was read out to the prospects, several more also just said, "I'm getting the hell out of here. She liable, even though she in jail, she liable to kill me." But Knight's attorney spoke to the judge, who adjourned they adjourned it to the following day. So the next morning, Knight charged her, pleaded guilty, and the whole jury was dismissed. She was just like, "Fuck it, they caught me with the head in the pot. What am I going
to
do?"
Yeah, man, when it gets to
that, that's about the only good decision she's ever made.
Yeah.
It's sort of about the only good decision the authorities have ever made with her, too.
Yeah. So he adjourned the trial, ordered a psychiatric assessment overnight to determine if she understood the consequences of the guilty plea and it was fit to make such a plea. Now, her legal team had planned to defend Knight by claiming amnesia and dissociation, a claim supported by most of the psychiatrists, although they did consider her sane. So, now, no reason's really ever been given for her all of a sudden deciding to plead guilty, because there was really no advantage in it. And despite giving it, Knight still refused to accept responsibility for her actions. She was like, "Yeah, motherfucker, I did it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. What's the problem with it?" I mean, that's the way she was. That's how she rolled.
So, that's a rule? Yeah. Now? Yeah. That's a thing?
That's a thing now? Why didn't you say something when I laid the baby on the railroad tracks? Now all of a sudden you guys want to get all nitpicky with the law and stuff. So anyway, at the sentencing hearing, Catherine's lawyers requested that Catherine be excused to avoid hearing some of the facts.
Really?
But that application, they were just too harsh for her delicate.
For her delicate nature.
Very delicate.
Her delicate slaughterhouse nature.
Now, Dr. Timothy Lyons comes in. He takes a stance and describes the skinning and decapitation. Excuse me. Knight became hysterical and had to be sedated. Now, the woman should have been sedated like 30 years ago. In Australia, their crime rate would have dropped considerably.
Jeez.
So anyway, on November 8th, Justice O'Keefe points out the nature of the crime and Knight's complete lack of remorse, says this requires a severe penalty. He sentenced her to life in prison, refused to fix a non-parole period, and ordered that her papers be marked never to be released.
Thank God.
The first time this had been imposed on a woman in Australian history. Now, in June 2006, she appealed this life sentence. She claimed that a penalty in life in jail without the possibility of parole was just too severe for one killing.
Well, yeah, you know, you're living in a police state.
She's got a point.
You don't live in a police state.
And that was rejected, with one of the judges saying this was an appalling crime, almost beyond contemplation in civilized society, plus the red-headed bitch devil slit the throat of a puppy. So we ain't never letting her out, ever. You grounded for life.
Never to be released.
Never to be released. They put that stamp on her. She's still in prison as we speak right now. She probably carrying a shank in a vagina.
She's probably working in the prison kitchen.
She's going to be on the next Making of a Murderer.
Yeah, or on Yeah, she's at the Silverwater Women's Correctional Center in Australia. If you all want to send her some love, send her a letter. Tell her we said hi.
Send her some Thorazine, some antipsychotics.
And I'm telling you what, she's not getting no tail there, at least from
doing I bet
you
she's know getting she is. Tail all over the place.
She probably got somebody head buried between her legs right now.
Because she's going to cut a bitch.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandy, any final thoughts on Crazy Katherine Knight?
No.
What, did you like her?
I wasn't a huge fan.
Okay. Colonel, any final thoughts on Katherine Knight?
I will reiterate. Mm-hmm. When you find a redheaded nymphomaniac, run. Okay? It's, you know what it's like, Timmy?
What's it like?
You ever, and you listeners may not, if you have the big boy, the restaurant, the big boy.
Frisch's.
Yeah, Frisch's, here it's called. You get the hot fudge cake, Timmy. Mm-hmm. You know what the hot fudge cake is,
yeah,
right?
It's
big,
delicious.
Big dessert. It's a cake with ice cream, with hot fudge sauce
probably
all over, whipped cream,
calories.
Big cherry.
Hence the name hot fudge cake.
Yeah, it's just, it when you see it on the menu,
yeah,
it just makes you think, I cannot continue living without this hot fudge cake.
It's a true statement.
And then you get the hot fudge cake, and you think, oh, I wish I wouldn't have ate that. I don't feel that good. I'm like,
no, but it's so good going down.
You know what, though? I feel the same way about roasted peanuts. They smell so good if they're roasting on the street, but then they taste like shit.
But there's 5 minutes of enjoyment with a hot fudge cake, and there's just hours of regret. Afterwards, days of regret.
I feel like it's that way talking to you sometimes.
Well, so a redheaded nymphomaniac is much like that hot fudge cake.
It's not.
It's going to make you feel good for a couple minutes, and then you're going to regret it for the rest of your life.
Now, you guys won't believe this, but I have dated women who have been slightly damaged.
Nuh-uh.
You?
Get out of here.
No.
I know. It's surprising.
Which is amazing because you typically only 22, 23 years old. How you get that fucked up in that short of time?
Yeah, but somehow
you know,
I find
they do.
It. Yeah. But anyway, they're a lot of fun for a while. But, you know, after a while, you know, they're fun, but then after a while they get psychotic like she did, and they're hard to get rid of.
They cut a bitch?
They cut a bitch?
Well,
have you ever had somebody stab you, Timmy?
No, but I don't think I, you know, no, but I, it's...
but the day's young.
Yeah, I'm still dating, so...
Have you ever been stabbed, Devil?
I don't know that that's any of your business.
Colonel.
I'm just wondering. I'm the only person here who's been stabbed.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, somehow that's not shocking, Colonel. Where can people find us?
Well, people soon will be
finding YouTube.
They will be finding us on the YouTube. But now I don't want to mislead because we're not going to have videos of the shows.
No, because that would require some work.
Yeah, we'd have to have a camera in here, and we do not want to know what goes on in the Devil's Playhouse when we do these in Brandy's office. And we do not want to know what's going on in here.
Yeah, right. So, but we are working to get a YouTube channel up, so you can go there and select all of our podcasts.
Now, if you get on the computer, you can get on the iTunes.
Get on the computer. That's
get on the computer, or your iPhone or whatever.
Mobile device.
You can get on a mobile device and your iPad, and whatnot, and you can get on the iTunes.
All of our podcasts are on the iTunes.
On iTunes, you can get you can find us on Libsyn.
Yes.
You can find us on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
We're getting ready right now, because the Colonel's going to be waving the green flag at the Indy 500 to come practicing on that.
You have to practice that, do you?
Well, you know, you don't want to do it wrong because you cause a crash.
So I thought you were singing, you know, At Home in Alabama or whatever that's.
No,
Indiana, whatever that song is.
Right
Jim
now,
Neighbors usually sings it.
I don't know.
Right
retired.
Now, I'm behind. I'm right now the Colonel to back up to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Okay, so if Justin Bieber is unable to,
I don't believe he's not doing.
I think it's Bernard or Bernie. What's his name? Mars.
Bruno Mars.
Oh, Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
I like Bruno Mars.
Yeah, in case anything happened to Bruno in the meantime, they got the Colonel's back.
Well, where else can people
the Colonel
find
and
us?
The Colonel's dances.
What about the Facebook?
Now, you can get on... Now, if you're really interested in
oh, my God.
history stuff, serious history stuff, besides murder and mayhem and that kind of stuff, you can get on our Facebook page. And you can leave us comments on there. You can leave us reviews on iTunes. Comments on the Facebook page. Timmy responds to them very, very quickly. If you have any suggestions, if you have any... Anything you might want to just say about whatever particular subject, just spit it out.
Don't be shy. We not have Patreon?
I have no idea what Patreon is.
If people would like to support us, they could go on Patreon and pledge $1 up to $1 million.
Okay. Well, I did not know that.
Patreon.com.
So somebody lying in their damn pocket with this show, and me and the devil don't know nothing about it.
We just started it. Patreon.com/historydweebs. If you have money and you can spare it and you would like to support us, we would love you. If you don't, that's cool too.
We still love you.
And we still love you.
You could go to I know, Timmy, you got the GoFundMe for that penis reduction surgery you're gonna have.
That's not true. Take a little bit off the top.
Just shave it off.
Brandy is making all kind of disgusting faces over there.
Why isn't this over yet?
Okay, so Colonel, any final thoughts?
I got a couple thoughts.
No.
I would like, hopefully the next time we all get together, the devil shows a little more enthusiasm, has a little more respect for our listeners than just being here.
Well, she is Satan's dirty little secret.
She is the Satan's dirty little secret.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see y'all again next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, folks.
Bye. Goodbye.